The Nobel Prize for Literature this year goes to a British novelist.
Nobelpriset i litteratur år 2007 tilldelas den engelska författaren Doris Lessing.
And for those of you who have forgotten your Swedish, that's the Secretary of the Academy saying that Doris Lessing won the award for her life's work, which examines society with, quote, skepticism, fire, and visionary power. Doris Lessing will celebrate her 88th birthday this month at her home in London. She's inspired a generation of feminist readers and writers with her 1962 novel, The Golden Notebook. NPR's Rob Gifford joins us now from London. Rob, Doris Lessing has been an incredibly prolific writer. For one thing, what's her background?
Yes, she has been prolific, Alex. She's written dozens of books. She was actually born in Persia, present-day Iran, to British parents who then moved to Rhodesia, what is now Zimbabwe. And she grew up there in a quite difficult, obviously racially very segregated Rhodesia. And that really informed a lot of her writing. She wrote later on a lot about race, as well as writing a lot about women. And it's really these two themes that go through so many of her books.
So she got the news today. How did she respond?
Well, yes, she was actually out shopping when the news came through, and she was greeted on her doorstep by a group of reporters who asked her how she felt. Her publisher said she was very surprised, but Doris Lessing herself sounded a little bit less surprised, as you'll hear now.
Well, you know, this has been going on now for about 40 years, so I can't say I'm overwhelmed with surprise. And there's another thing. I'm now 88 years old, you know, and they can't give a Nobel to someone who's dead. So I think they will probably think they're better give it to me now before I popped off. This is the way I'm thinking.
So Doris Lessing, very frank there, that perhaps she knows she's been on the shortlist for some time.
You know, I have to note that the Associated Press quotes the critic Harold Bloom as calling Doris Lessing a fourth-rate science fiction writer today. So she is a not perhaps everyone's first pick, although she seems to think this the award was coming. She indeed has been known to write science fiction. A lot of people disparage that, but she's proud of it.
That's right. And I think later on in her career, she started writing science fiction. And that's what Harold Bloom was referring to. He has, in fact, written in praise to some extent of her earlier writing. And you mentioned The Golden Notebook. That was really the book that published at in the beginning of the 1960s that sort of defined her and that was taken up by many feminists. It's a book about the society of 1950s Britain and about a woman who has just got divorced. It's about what's going on inside her head. It deals with female sexuality in a way that had not been written about much before. It deals with madness. It deals with very psychological issues. And so those earlier themes, for sure, have earned her more praise more broadly than her later science fiction writing.
Well, she does write about feminism, and she's also been a political writer.
That's right. And if you look at those two themes that go so much through her writing, the lives of women, often the psychological lives, and the race issue, she was banned from South Africa in 1956. And indeed, as you say, she was very political. She joined the Communist Party before leaving it later on in the 1950s. So she is very controversial in many people's eyes. And in that sense, she follows on from recent controversial choices by the Swedish Nobel panel, Dario Fo, the Italian writer, Harold Pinter, the British playwright, and of course Orhan Pamuk, the Turkish writer who won the prize last year.
And here's Rob Gifford from London. Rob, thank you.
Thank you very much, Alex.
Tomorrow, the winner of the Nobel Peace Prize will be announced, and many have predicted that the award will go to Al Gore. Unless, of course, those pesky monks in Myanmar get in the way. That's the thesis behind Tim Noah's article, Clawing Your Way to the Nobel Peace Prize. It appears on Slate.com. Tim joins us now. Welcome back to Day to Day.
Thank you.
Tim, you've done your homework here. You found out that 135 individuals and 46 organizations have been nominated for this year's Nobel Peace Prize, and you're placing your bet with the Buddhist monks in Myanmar. Why?
Well, I think what's going on is, I think it's 2000 all over again. You know, it's looking very good for Al Gore. You know, everybody thinks, oh boy, here it comes for Al Gore. He's finally going to get the big brass ring. Then the opposition starts rioting and the judges snatch it away. I think the poor guy is just about to have a flashback of 2000.
Isn't the timing here a little funky, though, because things just started heating up in Myanmar a couple of weeks ago, but the nominations for the Nobel Peace Prize were due back in February. Do these monks actually have the power to turn back time?
I think they must have hired a consultant. And the consultant said, what you want to do is you want to really kind of get things rolling about a month before. Then there'll be the inevitable online petition urging the judges to forget about the fact that the deadline was February 1st. And Al Gore, you know, he is always on time. He is always neat and well,
punctual.
Presents himself well, punctual. But, you know, these monks, you know, they are really, they fight dirty, you know? I mean, they're refusing alms, they're submitting themselves to torture and death. These guys will stop at nothing.
If Al Gore does win and, you know, triumphs over the monks, some people are saying this would kind of be the triple crown. He's already bagged an Emmy, an Oscar. If he gets the Nobel too, what then?
These are all consolation prizes, of course. And some people say, including my colleague Christopher Hitchens at Slate, says that this should be the start of his presidential campaign. I think the last thing people in the United States want to do is have a Nobel Peace Prize winner as president. I think it would actually sink his chances for good. It would just brand him to the end of time as a goody good.
You checked in on a betting website to see who else was up for the award. Any surprises there?
No, I think actually they are overstating the likelihood of some of these guys winning. They are, of course, their number one guy is Gore. That's the conventional wisdom that Gore's got it sewn up. But they are pushing Martti Ahtisaari, who's the former Finnish president, and he's sort of the Susan Lucci of the Nobel Peace Prize. He keeps almost winning it and then not winning it. And I think he's not going to win it at this point. He's most associated with Bosnia. And I think people are thinking, oh, Bosnia, that's so 90s. And also Irene Sendler, who is a hero from World War II, saved Jewish children during World War II from the Holocaust. She sounds like she is worthy 10 times over of a Nobel Peace Prize. But again, those pushy monks, you know, they're just elbowing their way in there.
Okay, Tim, all kidding aside for a moment, who do you really think the Nobel Peace Prize is going to go to?
I have been saying it sarcastically, but I mean it sincerely. I do think that the overwhelmingly best choice would be the Buddhist monks. They have been moral exemplars, and in all seriousness, I think it would be a terrible mistake for them not to win.
Slate.com's Tim Noah, thanks so much.
Thank you.
The real winner of the Nobel Peace Prize will be announced tomorrow morning. Last year's prize went to Muhammad Yunus and Graham Bank for their efforts to create social and economic benefits through microbanks. News of the final Nobel Prize, that's the one for economics, will come out Monday. Last year's went to Edmund Phelps for his work on macroeconomics.